The views and opinions expressed on this program are not those of the station, but of the sponsor, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to the Chamber Connection. I'm Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, on another Chamber of Commerce Monday. It's a beautiful weather here in Northwest Florida. Excited for another great week of a lot happening. We were just talking here, Jen and I were, about everything that was happening over the weekend, and a lot still happening this week. So spring has definitely sprung. The weather is great, and we hope that you are enjoying this as well. So joining us this morning is Chris Dawson. He is a lobbyist with the Gray Robinson Law Firm, which has offices throughout Florida. And Chris, welcome to the Chamber Connection.
Hey, Todd. Good morning to you. Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you for having me. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Absolutely. No, thanks for joining us. And Chris is joining us on the phone today, but he will actually be in Pensacola tomorrow as we have our legislative wrap-up breakfast. And he and his partners from Gray Robinson will be giving us an update on what happened during the 2021 legislative session. But first, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know us well over here in Northwest Florida, so tell us about that and what you do to support business interests in Tallahassee.
I do, Todd. Thank you for that. And I am a proud Northwest Floridian myself, hailing from Pace, in graduate of Pace High School a few years ago now. Those are starting to add up, but still maintain many ties to Northwest Florida and enjoy very much the opportunity to come share with the Pensacola Chamber every year a recap of what happens during the regular session of the Florida Legislature. As you mentioned, I am a professional lobbyist. This is my eighth year representing business and local government clients before the Florida Legislature, and so I have seen quite a bit in those 8 years, and you know, certainly different flavors of different legislatures and different sessions. I know we're going to go into more detail about it, but this one, of course, was unique because of COVID-19 and some of the limited access that was available during session because of COVID safety protocols. But all in all, it was a very successful session for the business community. Not to bury the headline, but of course the COVID-19 liability protection legislation was one of the first bills that passed. But a number of other business-centric and business-important issues were before the legislature this year, and I know we're going to get into those in a little more detail here in a few minutes. But all in all, a good session. Of course, the legislature is back in session this week for a special session on the Seminole Gaming Compact. So the legislative work is still ongoing in Tallahassee.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because that's something that's very specific but very unique. And what are the expectations for the special session that's happening this week?
Absolutely. Happy to go into that, Todd. And you're right, it is a very narrow focus. This special session is only about gaming. Two or three weeks ago now, Governor DeSantis announced that he had reached an agreement with the Seminole Tribe of Florida to renew the Seminole Gaming Compact. For those that monitor gaming in the state or gaming interests, of course, the Seminoles are the big gaming interest in the state of Florida, and they have, in years past, enjoyed an exclusivity with the state to provide those gaming services. And in exchange for that, they provide a cost-sharing structure with the state. That model, several years ago, because of both a termination of the existing compact at the time and also an expansion of gaming outside of the Seminole Compact through pari-mutuels and others, that revenue sharing model ceased. And so for several years now, the legislature has been trying to come back in coordination with the executive branch, and this goes back even to former Governor Rick Scott's days, of trying to renew the Seminole Gaming Compact and to, you know, kickstart again those cost-sharing provisions. And so Governor DeSantis announced a couple of weeks ago that he had reached an agreement with the Seminole Tribe. That proposed agreement would, again, renew the exclusivity for gaming. It also dealt with some new gaming issues, a couple of minor expansions related to card rooms and poker games. But more specifically and more broadly, the big piece that everyone will be talking about this week in Tallahassee is the legalization of online sports betting through the Seminole Tribe. That is a landmark piece of the deal that the governor reached with the tribe that, of course, now has to be ratified by the legislature. And if that deal is ratified, Florida would be the largest state in the union to legalize sports gaming in the online sports gaming that is proposed in the compact. So the governor, of course, in his executive authority is able to negotiate the deal, but the legislature has to ratify and implement the gaming compact. And so that is what they are doing in Tallahassee this week.
And so would there be any real impact to us in Northwest Florida? We don't really have casinos up here.
Yeah, the biggest one would be that online sports betting piece. And what would be set up is the possibility of either going physically, in person to a gaming facility around the state run by the Seminoles. Of course, we don't have one of those in Northwest Florida. Or it would set up a online digital platform where you could go to local, either if there's a local bingo hall or poker room or some other related entity that is tied into the statewide online system that's created for sports betting, that would be the most direct impact to folks in Northwest Florida. Another piece of the compact would be the creation of a gaming commission under the Attorney General's office. So that is also, it would be a new regulatory commission for gaming that would look at future expansion, whether that be under the Seminole flag or under different types of flags. Of course, there are pari-mutuels around the state that offer card rooms. And so there would be, again, another layer of, with this newly created commission under the Attorney General's office, for future expansion of gaming as well. So those would be the two most direct impacts to Northwest Florida.
Okay. And these issues are still up in the air. They're not guaranteed to, I mean, there's still some back and forth on what might happen.
A lot of back and forth. As a matter of fact, they haven't even gaveled in yet. They will go into session at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time today. And then they have the full balance of the week to hammer out these details. So far, about 9 different bills have been filed in a version, of course, in the House and the Senate. And we expect to see those move through the legislative process and committee process quickly this week because it's a special session, so they have only that narrow focus on gaming. For anyone that wants to keep track, of course, the bill numbers for those SB2A and HB1A are the main ratification of the compact. So those are the big pieces of legislation we'll be watching. The politics of it, of course, the Senate for years has been carrying a lot of the weight on renegotiating the compact. There isn't as much of an appetite in the House because, of course, any ratification of the compact that brings on new gaming, such as the sports betting or such as expanded card games that could be offered, there's a little bit less of an appetite for that in the House, which tends to be a somewhat more conservative body. So the Senate has for years been the leading part of the legislative branch in negotiating a new compact, and they were at the table directly through Senate President Wilton Simpson this time with Governor DeSantis. So looking at the politics of it, we know that the Senate is probably there. The House has been the chamber that has had a little bit of heartburn with some of these expansion ideas in the past. Speaker Chris Sprouse was not a direct party to the negotiations this time around, but has indicated that he supports the compact. So the question then becomes, is House leadership going to be whipping votes on this, or are House members going to have a little bit more autonomy as these bills move through the legislative process? So that's what we'll really be looking at this week is, from a political standpoint, where does the House fall on some of these expansion ideas and issues? And I think that will probably be what dictates whether or not the compact renewal and some of these related bills are ultimately passed and ratified by the legislature.
Okay, so still a lot to keep an eye on. Should be an interesting week. So talking about what we saw during this past legislative session, You'll be giving a thorough presentation tomorrow at our sold-out legislative wrap-up breakfast. But without giving everything away, give us kind of an overview of what happened during session that impacts the business community.
Absolutely. Happy to do that. And again, looking forward to being in person with everyone tomorrow morning. That is always a fantastic event. Todd, you and your team do a great job with that. And it really is our honor and privilege to be a part of it. As I mentioned at the top, of course, it was a different session with the COVID protocols, but ultimately it proved to be a successful one. The efficiency and ability of the legislature to pass bills was not impacted negatively by COVID. In fact, of the 3,096 bills that were filed, the legislature passed through both chambers 275 of those bills. So that's about an 8.85% survival rate for a bill, if you will. But actually, in historical terms, that's a pretty good rate. We haven't seen the legislature pass that many bills in a regular session since 2016. So very productive year for the legislature. Of course, there's one bill that they are constitutionally required to pass every year, and that is a balanced state budget. This year, what started as a budget conference that we were expecting budget deficits because of COVID, even going back to the fall, state revenue projections were that we were going to have about a $2 billion hole to fill this year. Well, Florida's economy, I think many of us would argue, because of some good policy and good reaction to COVID by the governor and by the legislature in keeping Florida open, our revenues rebounded much more quickly than expected. We've been beating revenue projections for the last 6 months in a row. And then, of course, we had additional federal dollars that came online through this most recent round of federal stimulus. So all in all, the legislature ended up with a budget surplus. We had our first state budget over $100 billion. This year's budget that passed was $101.5 billion. And so we're still waiting on line item vetoes from the governor, but largely expect that this will be a lighter veto year than last year, which, of course, was a record-setting veto year. So, without giving away too much, of course, we got a big program tomorrow. Some of the big issues that passed this session, number one and really most important for the business community, is the COVID-19 liability protection legislation. That passed early during session, and it protects both non-healthcare businesses and healthcare businesses alike. And in those healthcare businesses, of course, hospitals, assisted living, in any type of residential setting. So, those COVID liability protections are put in to really help Florida's economy continue to rebound, to help small businesses continue to rebound without the threat of frivolous lawsuits, folks saying, I went and got lunch at this deli, and then I fell ill 3 days later. I think I got it there. I'm going to go sue them. That is not what's going to be occurring in Florida, thanks in large part due to that COVID-19 liability protection bill. There were a couple other big pieces of legislation that passed for the business community in particular. Number one, the online sales tax. This was a parity bill, really making sure that online retailers, out-of-state online retailers, are collecting and remitting the same Florida sales tax that our brick-and-mortar businesses are doing, as well as our in-state online business platform. So that's a bill that has been trying to make its way through the process for a number of years. And due to COVID and the shift really to almost an exclusive online marketplace in certain instances, gave the legislature the motivation it needed to pass that. So we will see. The governor has already signed that bill, and so that tax parity will come online. It's about $1 billion-plus impact to the state's bottom line every year, so additional revenue. But again, it's no new tax in there. It's just a increased collection and remittance of what is already required under Florida law. Then getting down into some more specific areas, we did see a lot of movement in the construction world this year. Several bills aimed at streamlining construction processes, construction permits, inspections and inspection fees, a lot of focus on cutting red tape in the construction world. And when we look back at COVID, when we think about the pillars of Florida's economy, it's, of course, we're a tourism-heavy economy, but we're also a construction-heavy economy. Construction largely carried the state through the last year. And so the legislature really doubled down on that and looking to cut red tape within the construction and of course, even home building world so that those can continue to thrive and generate additional jobs and revenue. Also very important for the business community is maybe what didn't pass. There was legislation that would have increased the unemployment benefits that Florida provides by $100 per week. And of course, anyone that has driven around town or in the community, everywhere you go, you see help wanted signs. And so the business community really came to the legislature and asked that that not be passed as a deterrent of folks, you know, going back to work. The legislature and the governor listened to those pleas from the business community, and they did not pass that legislation. So that, again, was a big win for the business community and something that did not pass. We also, interestingly, for those in the business community that have paid attention to some of the state's economic development tools like the Job Growth Grant Fund, as well as the Visit Florida Tourism Marketing Organization, you know, those have both been big budget battles in years past. The business community has always been supportive of both of those economic development tools. And so the legislature very quickly this year re-ups the state's commitment to both the Jobs Growth Grant Fund. It received another $50 million investment this year from the legislature. And then Visit Florida, of course, the state's economic development and tourism marketing arm, received $75 million from the legislature. So that's a budget increase aimed at trying to get the message out to, you know, domestic and international travelers that Florida is open for both business and tourism. So again, another big win for the business community in getting funding for those two priorities. We'll have a lot more, of course, of those 275 bills that passed during tomorrow's chamber breakfast, but those are some of the highlights.
Yeah, and one other issue I wanted you to touch on that I think it's flown a little bit under the radar here, but it's very important to Northwest Florida, is what happened with the Triumph Gulf Coast Fund. Can you talk about that for a second?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. Triumph Gulf Coast, of course, the public-private nonprofit that was created to handle the BP settlement from the oil spill several years ago now. That is a trust fund that was created by the legislature, and as with every trust fund that is created by the legislature, it has to be renewed periodically. So the Triumph Gulf Coast Trust Fund actually was up for renewal this year. Northwest Florida, of course, has been promised and so far given 75% of those settlement dollars from the settlement with BP. And so really the delegation in the Panhandle has been lockstep for years on making sure that that commitment is maintained. You know, you can't take the politics out of a session. You can't take the politics out of Tallahassee. So anytime that you've got 75% of $2 billion being discussed, it's something that you want to keep an eye on and play a lot of defense. And our delegation in Northwest Florida delivered early again in session this year on renewing the Triumph Gulf Coast Trust Fund and making sure that that 75% commitment was maintained. So that is a critical issue for Northwest Florida and one that the Northwest Florida delegation really has done a tremendous job of protecting those dollars that belong in the Panhandle.
Yes, and you bring up a big point as well. You know, we have seven representatives and two senators that represent Northwest Florida in the Central Time Zone. So getting something like that accomplished is a big lift, because you often have to work against interests in Central and South Florida that have much larger delegations. And it's a challenge sometimes to get those things done. Talk about how the delegation here in Northwest Florida works together to accomplish things for us.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head there, Tom. And you look at counties, you know, a Hillsborough or an Orange County or a Miami-Dade County or a Broward County, you know, their delegations just in the county are bigger than the entire delegation between Pensacola and Tallahassee. So it's very unique in the legislature to have a region as cohesive, at least in terms of their legislative delegation, as the Panhandle. But the really fine men and women that Northwest Florida has elected and sent to Tallahassee do an exceptional job. They bat above their numbers, if you will, at only nine members. They carry a disproportionate amount of influence in Tallahassee, which is a testament to the good folks that we've elected and sent up there. Of course, they always and consistently have done a fantastic job on Triumph Gulf Coast. But I would also single out a couple of members in particular who have done a fantastic job in the general budget process. Of course, we've got Representative Jay Trumbull out of the Panama City area. He is the appropriations chairman for the House. And so he, in that role, is responsible for helping the legislature and particularly the House craft that $101.5 billion budget. You can rest assured that Northwest Florida priorities were on the table with Chairman Trumbull. Also, Representative Jerry Williamson is the subcommittee chairman for appropriations on transportation and tourism, two very critical areas for Northwest Florida. That also includes economic development. Jair there in that space is a huge asset for the Panhandle in making sure that we maintain a business competitive environment, that we continue to support our hospitality industry, our construction industry, our home building industry, and of course, with the military being so important in Northwest Florida as well. And that role, Representative Williamson has been uniquely positioned to continue to support our military bases and all of the economic development that occurs around those. And then on the Senate side, Senator Doug Broxson, Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman on Education, over on the Senate side, one of the largest pieces of the state budget, of course, a piece that is critically important to our future when we talk about educating our students from the pre-K level all the way through, advanced degrees in the state university system. And so he did a fantastic job this year navigating what at many times looked like it was going to be a budget cutting year, of course, until the final minutes really of the legislative session when when the ink dried on a record budget. He navigated the waters going from that position of having to cut and protect priorities and making sure that we're spending our dollars wisely, and then with the added benefit of a few extra billion dollars to throw around, there were some really important gains made in education, both in continuing and expanding school choice, as well as a major overhaul of the state's pre-kindergarten program. That has been restructured under legislation this year that will provide both additional accountability in that space, but also additional resources. And Senator Broxson was instrumental in getting those legislative changes across the finish line. On the policy side, too, I would point out folks like Representative Alex Andrade, of course, there in Escambia County. He has continued to really be a strong member of the Florida House of Representatives when it comes to policy, carrying big issues all the way from transportation to environmental issues like tackling things, PFAS contamination. He has really become a go-to member on some of those heavy policy issues. And then, of course, we have a new freshman representative and Representative Michelle Salzman, and she saw tremendous success in her first session. She had one of the first bills that passed the legislature in her cottage food operations bill, and that is a small business bill. It was aimed at, helping folks that found additional or new sources of revenue through cottage food operations and protecting and promoting small business. She did a fantastic job as a freshman navigating a bill of that impact for the business community. So really, can't say enough about the strength of the Northwest Florida delegation, and we've got a really good cast of folks protecting our interests in Tallahassee.
Absolutely. We have a great team, and they work really hard for us. Chris Dawson with the Gray Robinson Lobbying Firm. We are looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning at our legislative wrap-up breakfast. Safe travels as you head up here today, and thanks again for joining us on the Chamber Connection.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to seeing everyone at the breakfast tomorrow morning.
All right. Thanks, Chris. So just to wrap up, we've got a few events we want to make you aware of this week. We have a ribbon cutting and open house at our new chamber offices at 418 West Garden Street. That's the CoLab building across from Everman's. This is a business after hours event from 5 to 7 p.m. So please stop by, see our beautiful new offices, and enjoy some good times with our fellow business folks here in Pensacola. And then on Friday, we have our Greeters Networking Breakfast. It's at Waterfront Rescue Mission at 7:30 a.m., 348 West Herman Street. They are asking that you wear a mask when you come, but you will be able to take the mask off once we get started. So a couple other great events happening this week, getting back to networking and getting folks together. So it's what we're here for. We're trying to keep you connected on the Chamber Connection.
Thank you, Todd, so much. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Let's see what's coming up in the news with Mark Jacobs.
Florida theme parks adapting to changing mask mandates. The